Hello and welcome to the Legends of Tabletop podcast. We're going to be playing Deadlands tonight. I don't know why I forgot. We were just talking about cowboy stuff for the last half an hour before we got on, but that's just the way that it goes. So we're going to do character and player introductions, and John, go ahead, take it away. Oh, John's muted. Oh, no, here he is.
Not anymore. Yeah, no, I'm trying to detest. Okay. My name is John, but I'll be playing Cyrus Roll Templeton III. I'm a third generation explorer. I'm just looking for my next paycheck, basically. But, you know, we're gonna get...
Damn dogs!
Mind my animals. This is great. Anywho, that's who I am, and I'm just looking for my next job.
I'm Jim, and I will be playing Jonathan P. Young, son of a successful businessman from Philadelphia in the Asian American community there, and I have come west seeking fortune, adventure, and whatever else I can find while I'm here. I've been fascinated with the West and the writings, the newspapers, the stories that always come back to the East, so I'm here to see it for myself.
I'm Jesse. I'm playing Jacob Hancock. He is a former kind of ne'er-do-well street thug person that was unwillingly blessed by the left hand of God and is now a servant to his cause, taking out anybody who needs taking out.
And this is John, and I will be playing this Lester Boyd, and I come looking for the man that done killed my wife. That's it.
I'm Neil. I'm running the game. Are you going to do that voice the whole time? You think you have that in you, buddy?
I reckon I probably will.
Just really curious if that. I feel like an hour in, you'd be like, "This is a poor choice." Oh, that's real gravelly. That's real gravelly.
So. I can't say it. I couldn't say that it wouldn't be vacillating a little bit. It might come and go.
Yeah. That's. That makes sense. You may have. I ran some previous games, so I'm back. I'm sorry to you, the listeners. So now you have to listen to me run insane games again with crazy, crazy things that happen. So you are starting out. This is Deadlands. It's a Western in the Weird West where magic things have happened, and there are not only true magic again in the world, but real evil that is corrupting the lands. We are using a probably very ill-advised modification of the setting, only because I never like to run things straight out of the box. I can't handle it. I have to do my own dumb things. So we're going to be sort of pre-Deadlands Reloaded as far as like the time period, but we're going to use the Weird West rules just because they have been altered and edited and updated, and they're the nicest, newest, shiniest, prettiest rule set. So we're going to use that rule set, but this is actually going to be probably before most people would recognize the horrors that are sort of besetting the West. And the group finds themselves, all of you are sitting in you've made your way, however you have chosen, to Denver, Colorado, a city that is sort of a hub in the West. It is pretty calm comparatively to, say, Dodge City, which is sort of very rough and tumble. That's where, you know, if you see the movie Tombstone and stuff like that, it was like Wyatt Earp, Kraken heads, rustlers, thieves, you know, everyone who was anyone was going to Dodge City to start trouble. Denver's a little more calm. And just for the point of Deadlands, the setting, there are, quote, fear levels in the world. And the higher the fear level, the more corrupted the land is. So we'll get into all this. I don't want to do like a huge data dump, so we'll get into all that. But right now, Denver's pretty safe. Most people are maybe superstitious. They might have heard stories of sort of strange happenings or things like that. But for the most part, Denver is like the most normal city there that you're going to run into. Like, you might as well be at, you know, New York or, you know, Chicago. I guess Chicago isn't really in the list of I don't think it's in a fear zone. The East is more, it's too settled, unless you go to remote regions, to really be affected. I don't know why. They just kind of just assume the East is fine. But the West Coast is sort of dangerous.
They're too angry and urban, right? Like, Philadelphia is settled, right? There's cities and stuff, right? Like, so the magic can't seep in, right?
Yeah. So sort of the thing is, so for players versus characters, for players, essentially, the darkness has to be like plausibly deniable. It can't just be like, hey, I'm a monster and like ravage New York City, because then people would be like, oh, they're just monsters here. Like, let's go murder them all. And we would just murder them all. So it has to be sort of like a little like cat and mousey, like a horror movie sort of, right? Where you have to be kind of hidden, kind of not. And so the goal is to corrupt the earth. And then you don't know why, but it's getting corrupted. Some places are much, much worse than others. In this setting, the Civil War is now, I actually am going to go with the Civil War is on basically ceasefire. We're not quite to the timeline in Deadlands where like they actually had like a peace accord and all that. So this is more just like a ceasefire. The Civil War never ended. So it is later in the timeline. It's, I don't know, we're going to say around 1870-ish. So the Civil War has been going on and on. A mineral called Black Rock was discovered. This is probably all in Session Zero anyway. Ghost Rock. Sorry, Black Rock. Ugh. Isn't that a mercenary group? Yeah. Or is that the investing group?
No, that's the investing firm, I think.
That's right.
Or is that Blackstone? I can't, yeah.
God, yeah. It's they're probably the same. Anyway.
Right.
Ghost Rock was discovered. It's basically like super fuel. So there's now some sort of steampunk fancy engineering based on that. It is not as common as straight up Deadlands setting would suggest. This is a little earlier on, but the Confederacy did get a hold of it, made some Ghost Rock weapons, and that's how they sort of didn't get the tide turned on them in the standard history of the Civil War. And so that's why things held out a little longer. So there are people working with it. Mad science is a thing. But as soon as California sunk partially into the ocean, Ghost Rock was discovered in the maze, which is all of the pillars and plateaus and stuff in California. It's getting mined, but it's everywhere. They do find it everywhere. And that's now sort of the main commodity that it's instead of the gold rush, it's the ghost rock rush. And so there's a lot of opportunity. And so that's sort of what your characters know. You've heard crazy things. You don't know a ton about it. You find yourselves in an auditorium. This is the theater. This is where you would see a play or, you know, a musical. Did they have musicals?
But even that early? Tales. You know, women and
maybe
bustiers and, you know.
Well, I was going to say cabaret, but I feel like it's classier than a cabaret. It's bigger than a cabaret because cabarets are usually
that's vaudeville right there.
Yeah, this is like
Blazing Saddles, right, with Madeline Kahn. She comes out all gussied up.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So this is like a theater though, like theater seats, not like table mm-hmm. tables.
Yeah.
You essentially at some point recently had received a card, a note, a flyer expressing an opportunity to change your fortune, essentially, with this address and time listed. You've shown up because you're interested in seeing what this opportunity is about for whatever reasons you have. You're all everyone's sort of talking, blah, 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 blah. You hear sort of a a man comes in. He's wearing a Union Army officer's uniform. He looks pretty stern and serious. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to an opportunity of a lifetime. My name is Colonel Carby White, and I'm here to tell you how you can change your fortunes and do some good for the world. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have a lot of questions about what exactly it is we'd have you be doing. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of an idea, but let's just say this opportunity is to remain confidential for any of you who decide to stay. We have an opportunity to recruit some of you who are willing into a program to help settle the West, and in doing so, make it a safer, better place for all of our citizens. Not only that,
what do we get out of it?
Hold on. Don't get it. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But I'll say several people who you know from newspapers and local news from back home, back east, several successful entrepreneurs and let's just say successful business people, successful politicians have had their hands in some of these activities. All right. Well, that's what we'll talk about that. Here's what you can expect. Fair pay each month, signed, sealed, and delivered by the United States government, as well as an opportunity to enrich yourselves in other ways. I will say this, though. None of this opportunity comes without a cost. This is dangerous work. The West is a dangerous place, and it's not just gunslingers, cattle rustlers, but I'm sure you've heard some of the stories. This place is wild, and that's why we need your help. What we're asking is for those of you interested to become part of this program. You will essentially be recruits. If you succeed and do a good job, you'll be brought into our organization, which includes exceptionally better pay, access to resources, and some additional benefits that we will discuss should you complete your introductory period. However, once you are in this opportunity, you are not able to get out until we say so. It is a one-year commitment. If you are willing to join up today, at the end of that year, you can go free and clear on your own way, making whatever connections you've made within the organization, as well as be $1,000 richer, which $1,000 is pretty, you know, the average pay is like $20 a month. So it's a big amount of money. You're free and clear. 1 year, that's all we ask. If you'd like to choose beyond that and make a commitment like I have, you'll receive even greater rewards, not to mention the ability to retire quite comfortably. And by retire, I mean essentially do whatever you would like afterwards. That's if you do a good job. But if you run any deserters after this opportunity has been divulged, will be hunted down, unfortunately, and hanged. We're dealing with some very, very secretive information here, and you will be subjected to information that cannot be disclosed to the general public easily. So I'm giving everyone a chance right now. This is hard. I'll give any questions you might have. I'm happy to answer them. In the meantime, if you have if you're hesitant at all, the door is right there. We hold nothing against you. You're more than happy to leave this auditorium. No harm, no foul. And you can even get a drink on us at the saloon. Do we have any questions before we break in to our groups?
We getting a drink after?
If you sign up, it's an open tab tonight.
I reckon I might
see. It's on us.
Cyrus stands up and just starts walking to wherever it is to sign up.
Okay. If no one asks any question, there's a couple people that raise hands and ask about, yeah, like the danger. He does make it sound very serious. Some people just kind of get out, like they just walk out. They're like, this is, you know, sounds crazy, too good to be true. People are sort of like, you know, this is just some hokum, blah, 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 blah. Everyone signs up. They essentially hand you a number. They give you a location with that number. They sort of have little groups broken off into various rooms in the building. Yeah. You go to essentially a dressing room for whoever the star is of, you know, the show. There's a dressing room big enough that the four of you could fit in. I don't know if you want to you are essentially a person who is not in charge, just like a, you know,
random group
usher type person. Like, yeah. An usher takes you and shows you where you are. You're shown into your room. It's just, there's nothing in there that's like from this organization or anything. It's literally just
wait here,
like the dressing room with some chairs for you.
Yeah.
Jacob will sit in a chair almost immediately and just kind of like manspreaded with his arms and like elbows on his knees, head down. And he's just like, Lord, you really brought me in to deal with these hucksters in order to do some bidding, because this is some bullshit.
Do you have a collar on? I mean, do you look like a priest?
Oh, no. No, I mean, he doesn't look like a priest. Although, you know what? I'd say half and half. So he probably has, like, the collar, but, like, the top few buttons, like, it's like a V-neck button. So he has it unbuttoned and the collar undone, so it's just kind of hanging there. It's like they force him to wear it. So he's got like that, and he's got like the black brim hat on. So he looks like he maybe is like either like a really lax priest or like he killed one and stole his shit.
So we, Jonathan, I found a way to the room. I stop, kind of look at the number, look at the door. He's carrying his hat. He's got it off because the gentleman removes their hat indoors.
That's going to be fun.
And opens the door to the room, and he sees the chairs. And so he walks in, and he finds an empty chair. And he kind of looks around the room, and he's like, it's a good day to you, gentlemen. If no one minds, I'll take this seat. And he kind of sits down. He's dressed like he's straight from Philadelphia. He's like in a three-piece suit.
Wow.
He's wearing cowboy boots, but they don't have a lot of dust on them. And like I said,
just what he picked up from the stagecoach to the theater.
Oh, sure. Like they were definitely bought in the West. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. And the, like the hat, he's still a little uncomfortable with. Like you see, as he's holding it. Like the shape doesn't, like he's not used to holding like the shape of a cowboy hat. It's kind of like the gambler, like the flat topped hat. But he sits down in the chair and kind of waits for everyone else to get here.
Son, are you sure that this is a thing you might be interested in? Your boots look, they ain't never been shined, never been dirtied.
Well, I mean, they are new, absolutely. But I mean, I was told that. And I've read that this is the place, the West, right? This is where you come to, you know, to make something of yourself. And he kind of like, he unbuttons his jacket as he sits down, and he's wearing what looks like a gun belt, but there's no gun in it. Like he's got a, like on one side, he's got like a knife, like nothing. It's not huge. It's not like a Bowie knife. It's kind of small, just a dagger. And on the other side, you can see poking around the side, what looks like a tomahawk.
Yeah, Jacob will finish rolling up a cigarette and he'll say, yes, this might be a really good place if y'all want to die. But yeah, sure, if you survive, then definitely there's something to make out of yourself. And then light the cigarette, take a nice big drag of it.
Cyrus puts away a set of matches. He was going to go light your cigarette for you, but then he saw that you lit it. He just puts it away. He just says, "Hey, man, I reckon like they just out there that if you didn't want to be here, you don't have to stay here." And sure as shit, they're going to do this out here, out west here. You can make something of yourself. You'd be damn sure that out here is going to make something of you. So if you're hanging around here, you're in.
Jonathan kind of beams. He's like, "Oh, well, then excellent. Then I think that I'm in the right place."
We'll see. And I light my own
shaking
cigarette.
His head.
You reckon? And Cyrus would notice that. And I'll turn to him and say, "Hey, so why, you know, it doesn't seem like a place you want to be. So why'd you stay?"
And Jacob will just take another drag and then point up.
Cyrus looks up.
Hey, Red, it looks like your collar done come undone.
Oh, sure dang, has. You got one of them preacher collars. Cyrus sits down and kind of looks at you. Sort of like mimics your man spreadish stance. And just, so what's the story with that?
God's will, that's all that'll do it.
All right. Testing you.
Every once in a while, you know, you hear the calling, got to go to it. Whether you want to or not. And he'll, like, give a little glance up and then...
I can respect that. I mean, we seem to all be in this together now.
You reckon they got us all in here together for any particular reason? I mean, the four of us, I'm saying.
I mean, it seems to be random. I can't pick anything out that would link us together right now.
Well, in my experience, the level of secrecy and the sort of... 1 year commitment situation they got going there, breaking that, being hanging. No. They did something for a very particular reason, to be sure of that.
When you say hanging again, I get a look. Like, I don't say anything, but I mean, I don't know if you have to make an insight or whatever, but he looks a little uncomfortable.
I think I would notice that. Unless, Neil, you want me to roll something, I think I would. I mean, I'm looking
I think
around
you can. I think you're all. I think if it was noticeable enough for him to mention it, I think if you're paying attention, you would have noticed it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's talking. I'm looking at him.
Yeah. You notice when you say that, he kind of winces.
Lester, was it?
Yeah, Lester Boyd. And you are
Lester Boyd, huh? Oh, just Cyrus. I noticed you got yourself a look there when I mentioned that old hanging there as being a penalty for breaking this here contract. What's going on with that? What's going on with that look?
He grits his teeth a little bit when you say it again.
Grit your teeth all you want, Lester.
He says, "Look, I don't know you from Adam, so my business is my business."
Cyrus points to Jonathan and goes, "Is that Adam?"
No, Jonathan. He's saying, oh, like, points okay. to himself. Jonathan, yes. Hey, Jonathan.
Lester, who's that?
Yeah.
Is the preacher Adam? Who's Adam?
I guess we just call him Rev.
Rev is good. I like that.
Heck no. Name's Jacob. You can leave it at that.
Now I forgot, by the way, I have to, for listeners, I have to pay attention because any time he sins, he gets penalized and can't use powers as well. So if he says goddamn or anything like that, I got to know to be like, that's penalty. God doesn't like it. God doesn't like that.
That's so
he
good.
Is bound as a blessed to have very particular rules. So, yes.
Yep.
I think, sorry, I'm going to turn it back to Lester and say, I don't know, we don't have to know each other too well to work well together.
I reckon that's a fair point. He grabs a thing of whiskey.
Yeah. Cyrus reaches for the whiskey after you take a sip.
Yeah, if they put a bottle in the room, I mean, I guess if there's no bottle in the room, then I don't know.
If you brought it or have it, yes. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put like a bottle of booze in
there. Yeah, I'd have brought one.
There might be, I would say there's like a pitcher of water.
All right. He drinks water. Some okay. water.
I mean, there's really not a great, like, yeah, you know, it's probably not best if you have a super dangerous opportunity that they're recruiting people for to be like, you could get boozed up while we're telling you what you should do. Yeah.
Jacob will wave his hand over the pitcher of water and then go, "Nah, it still ain't happening, I guess." And
Jesus. All right, so as you're chatting, a man sort of turns the corner, walks in the room. He is... Oh, I was gonna do that differently. Let's do... he is actually in... No, it makes worse. Anyway, he's in a union outfit as well, lower rank. Does anyone have military knowledge or, like, would have known, like, ranks by any chance?
No. Would it just be by a I guess that's not a common knowledge check, or would it be because the Civil War is like the zeitgeist?
Common knowledge would be fine if you want to roll a check.
All right, sure. First checks of the game.
Just to see if you. Also, everyone, just give me a. What is the insight in this system?
Give me a notice
check. Yeah, give me a notice.
Notice is one of those like skills that everybody seems to have.
Yeah, you get it by default because it's such a common skill.
So you just roll whatever your dice is for that check for notice, right?
So whatever
plus a d6.
Yes,
plus a
d6. Yep, plus a d6. Yep, there's your wild die. Yep, okay, yep, always a d6. Yep.
So my high is 5.
Okay, you need a 4 or better. Nice. Typically,
that's the standard. Yeah,
I hit 4 too. Cyrus at 4.
One.
Okay.
Your highest is one. Did you roll double ones?
I rolled double ones.
I don't know if
good way to start the game.
Get out of the way early.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. Technically, that's a crit fail. There's really no. I want to be like you fell asleep, but that seems like you wouldn't have done that. I really wish you nodded off.
Taking a nice long drag off the cigarette.
Yeah, like you're in your own head. You don't even notice the guy come in. Like you kind of get startled when he starts talking.
Michael started talking to me about some bullshit.
Yep. when he does come in, Jonathan will stand up.
Ooh,
What did you roll, Jim?
I had a 4.
4.
Okay.
Yep. So anyone who got 4 or better, you notice he is wearing a union outfit as well. In this case, he does have the top button unbuttoned, which is overly casual for someone in an officer's uniform. And you also recognize that because of his stripes or the chevrons on his jacket, he is slightly lower ranked. He is not a colonel. Whoever got the highest, did John get the is Lester 5? 5? Yes. Doing it better than 5?
You want me to roll the
No, I think do a common knowledge. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's also 2d6. Let me check my sheet real quick.
You would notice it's lower rank, but you may not know the rank. It doesn't matter, he'll tell you, but I like to get throw some rolls in.
I got a 4.
Okay, he's a lieutenant.
Okay.
And again, that's like sort of the first level officer, right? But still, that's even weirder because a colonel was just there talking to you and a lieutenant's like not fully buttoned up, straight laced, which is sort of not the norm.
Right.
Gentlemen, at ease. He waves a hand at Jonathan.
Jonathan's the only one standing up.
Tip the broom of my hat because I'm leaning up against the wall.
Just staring at him. Nice.
Well, I just have to say I am happy to meet all of you. Let's see. We have Lester. That would be you, sir, correct?
Yep. He runs the finger along the brim of his hat, nods his head.
Cyrus?
Nods. Cyrus nods.
I take it you are Jonathan?
Yes, indeed, sir.
And Jacob?
Yep. Tip his cap.
All right. Well, we're all here and accounted for. And I am happy to say, welcome to the opportunity of a lifetime. He closes the door. I know it all sounds very mysterious, but we have to be a little careful. We have... we are dealing with unusual times right now, and I will let you know right away, we are not a military organization per se. We have a number of military officers and enlisted men who are part of our ranks, but let's just say we operate outside the normal channels of the military, of law enforcement, and in some cases have to go outside the law to achieve our goals. Now, what are those goals? Those goals are very simple. Stop the unusual darkness befalling the West. That is why leaving this organization after this meeting results in a hanging. You are going to be privileged to knowledge that the general person, the lay person, is not aware of. And your goal with this organization is to help us put an end to some of these challenges that the people of the West are facing. These challenges sound like fairy tales. They sound like campfire stories. But I will assure you, gentlemen, they are quite real. Just because Denver looks like a happy, pleasant place, it can be dangerous. Not as dangerous as some of the other parts of the West. California, you don't go there without something more than just a six-shooter. You better have two. And that's a minimum.
That ain't going to help you against no earthquake or whatever happened out there.
Oh, there's worse than earthquakes, my friend. Maze dragons? Have you heard of maze dragons?
Maze dragon.
I'm sorry. Did you say dragon?
Yeah. I mean, not like the King Arthur kind or whatever stories you have, but, you know, giant lizards. Mean as hell.
Johnny,
never
don't
seen
you,
them before.
Don't you worry about it. It sounds like it's just made up about a bunch of corn, so we can just heat it up and then eat it like popcorn. It's no big deal.
Not that kind of maze. Not M-A-I-Z-E. Different maze. Don't worry about it.
Dragon,
so I'm your handler.
You putting this on? You're saying that there's a actual dragon?
Well, I mean, not the fire-breathing kind, but, you know, a giant lizard beast that no one saw in the West before that earthquake happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I mean, you don't have to believe me, but perhaps seeing will convince you. Let me pull. Get it quick.
He pulls out his phone, goes to Google real quick.
I know. Yeah. He's like, what can I show you?
When this guy mentions the hanging part again, Cyrus makes a point to look at Lester to see if he still reacts to it.
Yeah, he pushes himself up off the wall and kind of crosses his arms.
Right.
Okay.
Making notes about my new friend, Lester Boyd.
He is going to... Sorry, I'm going a little bit between books here because there's quite a few different...
I mean, we're only using like three different books.
I know. It doesn't cause problems at all. You see... So... You see the guy sort of like mouths a few words and does sort of a little sleight of hand looking gesture, and a fireball literally like shoots out of his hand and hits like a poster on the wall and catches it on fire.
I step back into the wall and my hand immediately drops down to my pistol. I don't pull it.
Sure.
What in the hell was that?
Takes another long drag off his cigarette.
No, there's no danger. I just want to prove to you sometimes there's more to the situation than meets the eye.
What are you?
Well, I guess they used to call me... Well, there's a lot of names for me. Very derogatory, but these days they call me a huckster. Let's just say ever since that earthquake, I have developed a numerable set of powers that literally I could not believe. But as you can see, I can control them. I can control them on will. These things are real, sir, and they are dangerous, and we need people like you's help.
Well, I can't be pulling no fire from my fingers. How come you don't go and do it your damn self?
Oh, I have. I've been on the trails. I was in charge of a scouting cavalry unit, and we ran into a lot of problems here and there. creatures, people with unusual personalities and unusual abilities. And we started reporting it back. And then the brass got a hold of me. And that's why I'm here now. My job is to get more people like me, or just people. Heck, I'll tell you what. If you're good enough with a gun, you can face down pretty much anything out there if you're good enough with it. So, and that's what we're hoping for.
If I put a bullet in you, you'd die then?
Oh, I am certain that I would. But you'd have to quick draw that a hell of a lot faster than I set you alight. And I'm not sure I would take that bet if I were you.
And he like looks him up and down and then like slowly takes his hand away from his pistol because I don't want to be set on fire.
He literally, he's like, oh, he, you like literally doesn't like, there's nothing. He did not. He flips out of seemingly nowhere an ace out of his like just magically sort of flips toward you, like sees you, you see it in his hand, and then he flicks it toward you, and he's like, you hold on to that. That'll bring you good luck one day.
All right there, Lieutenant Colonel. You're doing a lot. You're raising the temperature in this here room, both figuratively and literally. So why don't you just get down to it?
If I might, he's a little bit lower ranked than the guy that...
That is correct. Yes, I am a lieutenant, not Lieutenant Colonel, yes.
Whatever your rank is, why don't you just get right down to it? I mean, I've seen your dragons that you speak of. Of course, we're going to need a little bit more than I think most of us actually have. And so I think that it's probably a good time to let us know what you expect of us.
Absolutely. Well, this is a one, let's just say, well, the 1 year, you can be promoted ahead of time if you do a good job. If you succeed, you will be rewarded, obviously, with $1,000. But in the meantime, we do expect you to have successful missions along the way. I will be your handler. And as the first mission, unfortunately, I'm going to have you investigate the disappearance of one of my sergeants. I sent him on a routine welfare check of a local town that we had heard stories that there was some sort of wasting disease that was affecting a number of the population. The town is called Terry's Ford. It's about 2.5 days ride from here. I'll need you to go there. We have heard no word from my sergeant. Not only that, I did send, he's been gone 2 weeks now. About a week ago, I sent another rider there to check on him, and he did not come back.
So hold on a minute. You knew there was a problem, and you sent one man to go and investigate a whole town?
Oh, no.
He had another one? And he didn't come back?
Well, I sent a squad of men, including, mind you, well-educated and agency. That's what we call ourselves around here, the agency. An agency-employed doctor with him. Now, the sergeant is quite capable. He was one of my best men. He also had 5 of his best men with him.
Well, did they come back?
No, we have heard no word from him, nor the scout I sent to get word.
Well, shit.
I am concerned. Needless to say, that's not only several good men on our side, but we have reason to believe that if something strange is happening, that we will need to diffuse that situation as quickly as possible, considering if there is some strange goings on, it is far too close to Denver for comfort. So I will need you to deal with the situation. If the town is in some way either infected with a disease, you can do whatever you see fit, quarantine, we can get doctors, but it must not spread. And if you deem it necessary, you can do what is necessary to end any situation however you see fit.
So what you're saying is we got to either heal him or kill him.
Yeah, that's about it, Reverend. That's about it.
So that feels like, that seems like two very ends of the extreme.
Unfortunately, sir, when we're dealing with these phenomenon, we're often dealing in cases of black and white. Now, sure, there's gray areas, but the solution is usually one side of that coin or the other. Fix it or end it.
And you sent a whole squad of experienced people to go out, and now you want to send it. You tell us there's monsters and then just want to send us out all willy-nilly to investigate. What else can you tell us about this?
Well, what would Jonathan, you like to know?
Didn't mean to cut you off there, son.
No. I mean, it's a valid question, sir. I mean, Lieutenant, if they couldn't handle the situation, what is it about us that all of a sudden makes you think that we're going to be more capable?
Well, for one, you're not bound by the parameters of the military. Now, I sent them. Actually, did I say? Now I might have to retcon that. But I sent them under orders of the U.S. Army. They were simply there to fact find. Once we know there is the possibility of strange phenomenon, then we are in this case able to act. You are able to act a little more freely. But not only that, we have to know whether you have what it takes to succeed in this mission, in this role. If you want to be full-fledged members of the agency, then you have to show your ingenuity. And I believe, based on our reconnaissance, that you all have the skills necessary to handle these strange and unusual situations. And my hope is that you will take this opportunity to help us solve this problem. Now, nothing has come to Denver yet. And I will say, we were not allowed to share this level of classified information with the sergeant and his men. They were simply thinking it was a standard disease outbreak. I no longer believe that to be the case. Or else one of them would have come back. They had proper quarantine measures. They had a fully fledged physician. I can't see why that would have happened if something strange isn't going on.
So I turn to look at Jacob and I say, well, Padre, what does a good book say about killing monsters? Is that a sin?
I don't feel as though. I ain't getting any bad signs from the man up above, so I think this might be okay.
Well, I reckon you'll tell us if we overstep the line then.
Oh, no, you can overstep as much as you want. Don't worry about it.
As long as you provide absolution.
I guess the question might be for you, though, Jacob, is if the time comes to step over that line, are you willing to step over that line with us? Pardon me.
Who let that damn dog in here?
Yeah, let the dog in this place.
So this is a nice establishment, you know, letting a hound in here.
Felix, I'm sorry. We're allowed to. I adopted. I found this mongrel out on the plains. He was
sure
lost.
Is a mongrel.
He comes with me everywhere. I apologize, but quiet, you. He hasn't quite learned the manners of a right military dog, if you know what I mean.
No, Jacob will take one last drag off his cigarette and then throw it on the ground and kind of snuff it out with his toe. And then he'll look right at Cyrus and say, you know what they say, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for the rest of that. You know what I mean?
That's what you're looking for there, Padre.
And then he'll just like laxly cross himself and then... And then start rolling up another cigarette.
I do appreciate how laxly you gave yourself the sign of the cross there. It really drove home the point, and I feel a lot more comfortable with being next to you in a fight. And he hands you a pre-rolled cigarette, so you don't have to make your own.
Ooh.
I feel as if I might be overdressed for this conversation. And he reaches up and he unbuttons his top button.
Oh, yeah, Cyrus unbuttons his top button, too. Like, we're gonna
and then we all turn our heads and look at Jonathan.
he somehow finds another button.
Yeah, we all look at him, though.
But he definitely straightens his tie. And, like... So, yes, Lieutenant, so then is our primary objective the town or to find your man?
The primary objective is to neutralize whatever threat might be present. That's the ultimate goal. Any preservation of life is appreciated. Now, the Reverend brings up a good point. In your cases, as in ours, it is better to ask forgiveness than permission. And with that, of course, if any of you are ranking individuals of law enforcement or the military without me knowing, then go ahead and feel free to stand up and say so right now. But I don't think you are. You are civilians, unfortunately, asking to complete these missions. And obviously we have resources to help you should you get into trouble with any locals. However, it would be best for you to keep as much under the radar as possible. The agency is not a recognized authority, and therefore we have no badges. We have no way to strong arm, say, a local sheriff or marshal who's causing you a bit of trouble. You'll have to handle those things yourselves. However, you can also operate outside of the standard rules in that case. So, in some cases, it's whatever you need to do to get the job done. And we can, of course, disavow all knowledge of any of your activities should we need to.
Are you telling us that we should kill the sheriff if the sheriff interferes in our operations?
Absolutely not. I would suggest you negotiate first. I'm just saying, if a sheriff is going to hang you and it's between you and him and. Right now, maybe the sheriff's more valuable to us, but, you know, you show your pretty value. Perhaps we can smooth over the accidental death of a town marshal if you happen to need to. Obviously, that is a very regrettable instance, and we highly dissuade you from such activities. We also cannot guarantee that you will not be wanted or that the news can be completely covered up. That's potentially within our capabilities, but you don't know. Let's just say the better you can act within the law, the better. But if you have to act outside the law, it is the West, and gosh darn it, things happen.
Is this incorporated land here? Is this under the jurisdiction of the United States government, or are they still left out in the winds?
Well, technically we're in Colorado, so it is part of the United States government. I guess that probably brings me to another point that I should perhaps enlighten you on. We don't really see a huge difference right now between the United States government and the Confederated States of America.
What's your meaning there?
The agency operates between both governments in a known cooperation at the highest levels. Again, mention this to anyone, that's a hanging.
I'd appreciate you stop saying that. I know you might be your preferred method of punishment. But
he pulls out like a set of papers and he reads through and he's like, "My apologies, Mr. Boyd."
And he just dips his head ever so slightly.
Let's just say letting this information out, it's quite sensitive, but the United States government and the Confederated States have decided to put aside past grievances in order to address this greater threat. And hence, the agency is able to work between both. So there are agents like myself from the Union Army. There are agents operating in the Confederated territory that also share our goals, along with, let's say, the Texas Rangers. So you may find allies in strange places. You may not necessarily think that some allies will be on your side based on where you are or are not from. But let's just say we have a very diverse network of agents working to secure the West for everyone's good.
If we may take just a step back for a moment, when we go and investigate this situation or any other situation, how is it that we are supposed to determine if there is some, air quotes, supernatural, a monster in play? If there is some sort of maybe a person such as yourself who is perhaps working for the other side, how would we determine that?
Now, then, Mr. Boy, you did hear him mention the dragon, right?
I did. I guess a dragon would stand out as something that would be quite unusual. But if it is just a man, how would we make that determination? What sort of things should we be looking for?
Very good question.
Thank you, sir.
Lieutenant?
Typically, I would say you can still solve a problem, supernatural or not. If they simply seem to be a megalomaniac or some kind of psychopath, it doesn't matter if he's a real monster or a figurative monster. You can still do what needs to be done. I will say I was asked a few times back by a enterprising gentleman who also asked me, how do I know when I see a monster? And I said, well, I don't know. It sounds a lot like whenever you ask me something about public indecency. I can't give you a definition, but I know it when I see it. And I'm just going to tell you, when you see a monster, you'll know it when you see it. These things are not subtle, typically. Although I will say the more dangerous they are, the more subtle. You may not be able to tell. But I don't think we're not really sending you into any place that we know of that's too dangerous yet.
And Jacob will also kind of look around at the other three right now, and he'll tip his hat up slightly, say, well, I know that you have been talking about why they placed the four of us together, and he'll take out one of his revolvers and just kind of, hand off the trigger, but kind of hold it up, and you can actually see, like, a cross etched into the handle of it, and it's very kind of intricate, like leaf work up towards the barrel. And as he holds it up, the cross and then all of the etching actually starts to glow slightly. And he says, I do believe that if we come across any evil ne'er-do-wells, that we might be able to go ahead and figure out what they are.
I knock my hat up so it's up, sticking up over my head. So I'll be damned. We got one of you, Lieutenant, just amongst our own group here.
Well, yeah, I think Cyrus, I get a shit-eating grin. I get a shit-eating grin and go, well, there we go. That explains that. That's going to be our magicka, so to speak.
Hell, Padre, you're the first reverend I've seen with a six-shooter on his side. No one as special as that.
And he'll then actually reach down and, spin it and pull out both of them, and he has a matching set. And then he takes it, spins him back down, puts him.
I'll be. He pulls his hat back down.
Now, so then, some of you probably don't have horses. Am I correct?
You would be correct.
I got my horse is stabled down in the stable. Daisy, she's a good old horse.
Oh, you got your horse stabled out there too? I got my old Greta down there. She's down there as well. Look at you.
I'll be.
Johnny, a fancy boy like you don't got no horse? I can't believe that.
Well, I've only been off the train for a couple of days, and
to be honest, I'm not very familiar with the animals. I was waiting to see exactly what this opportunity was going to be, and I guess now as mode of transportation has become the topic of discussion, I'm assuming that we'll be riding to this Dairy's Ford, Lieutenant?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, this time, yes. Now, the open plains can be a dangerous place, so I don't recommend that if you don't have to go that way. But unfortunately, in this case, we don't have a lot of options. There's not a rail or a coach line. It's a small town. Their goal was to set up a mine somewhere near there, and I don't think it ever took off, so it kind of just languished. But yeah, well, don't worry. We'll get y'all a horse on loan, one from our stable, in order to make yourselves comfortable down there. If you don't return, then I guess we'll take that as a loss. But when you get back, you know, please return them to our care. I would recommend you take the rails or a coach if possible. They're faster and significantly more reliable than the planes.
Cyrus claps an arm around Jonathan's shoulder, a dirty hand on his shoulder, and says, don't you worry about nothing there, Jonathan. We'll get you used to them horses so very quickly. You're gonna love it. You're going to love bouncing up and down on that saddle.
He kind of looks over at the hand, and he kind of, like, it's a weak smile, but it's a smile. It's like, of course, yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, right? Like, you're an experienced rider. Everyone out here. Good to know.
Every single one of us, son. We are all experienced riders out in the West.
I give you a shit-eaten wink.
At this point, he's like, if you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. I'm sure one of them might be, well, what's our reward? He looks at Boyd. Let's just say, we are a generous employer, and so here's your start with a signing bonus. And he hands you each a fresh, crisp $20 bill.
Ooh. God damn.
Jacob at first says, well, now the only reward I need is the reward of the good Lord. But at the same time, this $20 will go a lot far in getting me to where I need to go, and he'll go ahead and take it.
And not to mention, this evening, use my name at the saloon. It's open bar. That's a great question. Hold on. What is his name?
I was afraid to say anything, but now that you mentioned it.
William Barrett. Lieutenant William Barrett.
Let me just type that up right over here, my little.
Make a note. It will get you free drinks at the saloon this evening. One night only opportunity. But no, you're expected to ride out at sunup. So don't go too hard.
And your sergeant? Do we have a description or a name for him as well?
Yeah, his name, Sergeant Samuel Reynolds. He is a good guy, younger guy. Barrett's probably 40, you know, pretty straight-laced, you know, well put together hair, even though he does have sort of the unbuttoned top couple buttons. So sort of relaxed, but looks like he's definitely prim and proper otherwise. Samuel, he's a good fellow. The men loved him, very responsible, took his job quite seriously. One of the best at drills and field exercises that I ever known. He's got sort of sandy blonde hair, a little heavier set, put on a little bit of weight, you know, since he's been out here and off the marches, so to speak. A little bit too much of the saloon time and a little less marching than usual. But last I saw, he has a beard, heavier set gentleman, should be wearing a Union outfit, theoretically with five other Union soldiers with him. The doctor, his name is Lance Cassidy. He was, I don't know, your same old general doctor type. 50-so-year-old, salt and pepper hair, well-spoken, went to too much damn school to really know much of anything, I think. But we were supposed to send him just to see what he could find out.
Neil, I'm sorry. His last name is Barrett, our handler?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, it's and it's, did we get his first name?
I guess is it William Barrett? Is that who developed the Barrett?
Yeah, William Barrett, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm so bad.
I was like, is that who developed the Barrett? I was like, is that who developed the Barrett freaking 50 cal or something? Because it was a generated name, so I don't know.
Actually, I got the chance to shoot one a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
It gives you a shove.
I can't imagine how hard that thing kicks.
Yeah.
Any other questions for me before you ride out? It's he gives you a map. There's a map. X marks the spot. It's southwest of little bit southwest of Denver. There's a Terry's Ford. There's a little dot on the map. It's about it looks like 2.5 days ride ish, 2 days, 2.5 days, depending on how fast you go. That's basically.
We don't want to go too fast, or else we might upset Johnny's backside.
I guess, but if nobody has anything, like before he leaves, I think I pull him to the side, or maybe follow him out, so like just outside the door into the hallway. But if anybody has stuff,
I think I'm good.
Going to the saloon.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.